All right. So hello and welcome and thanks for joining us on the Advanced Business Show, where we discuss many topics that is related to you, your life, your business, to help you advance it and reach higher goals. Today, I'm welcome my great guest, Kurt Courtout, where he is from the flipmanagement.com site. And he is with us today to talk with us about how you can start your business in a middle of a crisis. And as you know, we are currently in a crisis. Everything is locked down. Not too many businesses are open. Some businesses are lost and so on. So we want to talk with you in this episode about this subject and to see, can you actually make it through with your own business inside this lockdown and this crisis or not? So I welcome here my guest, Kurt, again. Thank you, Kurt, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Amer.
Okay, my pleasure, my pleasure. So now, Kurt, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, your background, and so on?
Yeah, sure. I'm Kurt. I come originally from Belgium, and I have a master in sciences. And I live currently in Mauritius, or at least for the last 2.5 years. I've moved my business headquarters from Belgium to Mauritius, and I help companies to basically answer three simple yet important questions. Okay. Yeah, so I run my business system. I run my business as a business system expert, facilitation, coaching, and consulting company since 2005. And I'm a partner of Coltrat Implementation Group Europe. I'm a senior principal at Arvin's Group, and I'm a teaming partner of Exipron and Science of Business. So, but basically what I do is, even in these times, and especially in these times, I am helping companies to answer three simple yet very important questions. And the first one is how to protect and preserve what you already earn and save. I think like personally, during the last few months, during the lockdown, that is actually what saved my business, because I had my capital protected, and I gained actually while the business was non-existing because the market was closed. So I also, the second question I help companies to answer is how much better can we do? Because most of the time when a lockdown happens, or when any crisis happens, economic crisis, we say, okay, we need to reduce the costs, and we start to act from a contracting mode, from a some kind of fear mode, because there's a lot of uncertainty and doubt, and that creates the fear. And so we will stick to what we know, and that is actually what is going, what are we paying? What are we paying out? Let's cut that. But the danger there is that you can only limit as much, because once the fat has been cut, if there is any fat, by the way, then you risk cutting into the bones, into the structure of your company, which you don't want to do. So how much better can you do by focusing on which product and which market are you serving? Can you do better with your existing product in your existing market? Because that's the least investment necessary to do better. And as long as you don't have 80% of your market with your current product, then the first thing to do is to get the most out of your current market with your current product. So I let companies see that there's a lot of potential over there, and then you can basically combine the sales revenue and compare that to the extra delta operating expenses or delta investments if you make a decision, because a company is not only costs, especially it's customer service, it's creating value to your customer. And if you see only the cost, then you may forget the customer. And also when the economy starts to pick up again, you may not be ready to cope with the demands that may come in. So that brings me to my third question also, that is how to do all these above questions in the most simple, fastest, and least risky way. So to be better, to protect and preserve yourself. But how to do that in the most simple, fastest, and least risky way? So because once you know how to do better and you can make an unrefusable or irresistible offer to your market, which I call a mafia offer, then yeah, you also need to be sure that you can deliver upon those promises, because I think one of the main characteristics or things that people value a lot these days is trust. Can they trust you? Are you reliable in your delivery? Are you at least predictable? And are you communicating the changes in your orders? But hopefully you're already reliable. And if not, maybe your sector average reliable, but try to be 3 times, 4 times better than your sector average, and you will gain the whole market for you just based on the reliability, there where reliability is important for your customers, reliability of delivery. And the other thing I help companies with is, if they're already reliable, well, can we deliver much faster than any of our competitors? Because that's also a way to gain more market share with the same product on the same market. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is what I do right now and what I focus on. So yeah, I started this business 15 years ago, but I took this situation of the lockdown as an opportunity to bring my business online and to help more businesses than ever before, because now I will be able to help people directly online, and I'm using this opportunity to get to know how all the online tools work and how to communicate directly with people, so I can be an online business coach facilitator. Mm-hmm. So directors or owners of their company, they could, for example, rely on my services from a distance wherever we are, and mm-hmm. we don't need to make travel expenses, they fall away, but we can still work on the valued delivery of your company or value creation of your company. So I've been doing that for the last 15 years, but basically the last 8 months or 8 weeks, I've been bringing my business online. So I'll be able to do what I did before on site, this time online, off site.
Okay, so I see it. So you are helping businesses strive, create more, add more value to their current work. If they have maybe some assets, some cash, and so on, you help them preserve it and protect it from unstable economic situation that is happening, like we are having currently.
Yes, I'm not a financial advisor, but for information purposes and educational purposes, I share with companies who are interested what you can do against inflationary and deflationary forces, which are both out there. Unemployment is obviously deflationary. Inflation is all the money printing that's happening by central banks. So how do you protect yourself against that? Because there have been very poor billionaires. One example that comes to mind now are people in Zimbabwe. But you can protect yourself against that so that your money or your purchasing power in your company stays the same, regardless of how much money is being printed or how hard mm-hmm. your currency is being devalued.
Well, I see some really valuable work. I think many companies will need around the world, since currently many central banks are printing money like crazy. They are not doing it in, let's say, an organized fashion way. They're just trying to get the stock market, keep it running, which is not is not the right thing. The average person is the one who's mostly affected with this, not the...
Yeah, there's a exactly. There's a big disconnection between Wall Street and Main Street. So Main Street is what you see on the street. And basically people are, I think in America alone, there's above 40 million people that lost their jobs or at least applied for unemployment just during this past lockdown or ongoing virus situation. So 40 million people in a few months. This is incredible. And many of those professions may not come back depending on which regulations will be put in place. But I'm thinking about the hospitality sector, the restaurant and travel sector will be under severe pressure. In addition to that, all the money that's being printed is not going to the people on the street. There's a little bit, but most of it goes to those bigger corporations who are in trouble because they can't sell their bonds anymore. And so the Federal Reserve, for example, in America is buying back their bonds. So in addition to that, the result is they can continue buying back their shares. Mm-hmm. And this is also all the money that is being printed is taxpayer funded. Yeah, well, all employees, savers, pensioners, and investors that are basically not being bailed out.
I see. And that's why we actually started with this topic in the advanced show, to like help people. Okay, these people who are currently out of business, don't have work. Okay, what is it next for them now in life? What they can do, what they will do. So now, Kurt, you already talked about why did you choose to start now. I think mainly because there is a lockdown around the world. Maybe you were traveling via airplanes, go some other places and so on. But currently, I think Mauritius is still on lockdown. And actually, most of the world is still in lockdown. So you are currently taking it online for these reasons, right?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. And also, when you bring your business online, you can actually help out many more and reach out to many more businesses and people out there. Mm-hmm. Because if you have to personally go to everybody, that's not such a broad reach that we can achieve with our online presence.
Okay, that's good. Okay. So now I see that currently, if you want to escape the current situation, you can still go and do business. You can still get the clients. You can still do work, but you will not do it like traveling. You will have to do it online or like contact them. Is that right? What do you think, Kurt?
Yeah, well, especially here in Mauritius, there are no commercial flights before the 1st of August. So that means that if you have an international business coaching and facilitation service, as I do, and you can't travel, well, then the only way is the internet. So will this last forever? It will not last forever. Nothing lasts forever. But it may last longer than you thought it would last. And then who knows if there's the same reaction to a potential second wave of this type of virus, which is just a variation of previous viruses. And the reaction to this virus outbreak will be again to implement what has been done before, even with harsher measures. Yeah, then you better are online, because then you can stay in touch. And not only with your customers and your suppliers, but also maybe with your data and stuff and your applications, which should be now more and more in the cloud, as I say. Mm-hmm. So you've got everything available to work together or collaborate together from a distance.
Yes, that's correct. Actually, I've created a few weeks ago a vlog on my Facebook page about would business ever stop. Actually, business will never stop. It will always keep on going. You just need to find the way to do it and keep it going, keep it running.
Yes, and in the best case scenario, we can travel again and meet each other in person, which is a totally different experience. And sometimes it's better to meet each other in person. But if it doesn't happen, then at least you have got a contingency plan.
Yes, that's correct. And also, like, no, for sure, not everybody out there you will be able to travel to. Like some people in some certain areas and so on, you might not be able to reach them or give them your service. Okay, so now, Kurt, so you started online, you went to the cloud, you joined the digital age, you went through this digital transformation. Who did mentor you? What courses you took? Who did lead you into that way?
Okay, specifically on bringing your business online, I joined the London Real Business Accelerator program from Brian Rose and his team. And that helped me in bringing my business online as far as I am right now, from scratch, basically. With an 8-week program where you work together with a team. You don't know who will be in the team and stuff. But it was quite a good experience. Very, very tough. Quite brutal, because you do need to take extreme ownership, because you will have challenges along the way. But the good thing is, that's why you have a team, and you should shout out to your team to help you out, and then you can move on. And it was nice to have this quite a kind of competition also between different teams. I think there were like 10 teams competing for some kind of Olympics. So every week we need to get to some kind of assignment, fulfill that assignment, and then you got points and stuff. So we started off quite slowly. Actually, we started off in the second place, and now we are finishing, and hopefully we are finishing maybe in the first place, because we've been holding the goals for the last three episodes, I think. The last 3 weeks, and this is the last week, fourth week of the 8 weeks. So this was quite nice. But before that, I had other business mentors who you can learn from a lot from the business side, mainly Dr. Eli Goldratt. You can find a book. It's still available and being sold worldwide. It's a bestseller. It's called The Goal. And that was an eye-opener for me. From there on, I started to read all his books and went to certifications and started to get very deep into the thinking processes and how to use them to facilitate the strategic improvement projects I was doing for companies. That was very good from business side, because it's actually bringing science into business. So everybody sees how everything is connected to each other, because you're a one big team in a company. But many times you just have functions in a company that are trying to focus on their goal, and not really collaborating. And sometimes there's walls of distrust between functions. But thanks to Dr. Eli Goldratt, I have necessary tools to actually get rid of those walls of distrust and bring everybody together along the same goal with a music sheet they can play from, so that everybody may be very good in their functions and in their teams. But if they play from the same music sheet, then you can create harmony. If they don't have the music sheet, you can have a very good leader, very good manager, but everybody will just play what they have in front of them, which may sometimes be very chaotic. So that's for the business side. And for the investment side, I learned a lot from Robert Kiyosaki and from Doug Casey. Doug Casey is also someone who says when there's a crisis, or when you're just before a crisis, make sure you speculate more. And when the crisis just went away, then start investing. So basically, when everything is down, start investing. When everything is up, start speculate and try to hedge yourself against misallocations of funds and stuff that are happening in the market. So these were my biggest mentors, actually. It's a little bit broader than what you asked for, but I hope this is useful for your listeners, Amer.
Yes, that was very nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kurt, so that's nice and good and everything. So you don't want to just go and do this by yourself. You want to just have maybe some advices, as you earlier said. You might want to go take a course, maybe read a book. You don't want to just like do it alone. Okay. Kurt, so far you are creating you already created your business. Okay. And you already have established a company. So now, so far, what is the challenge that you had first in your own business before you take it online? And currently, what is the challenge when you take your business online?
Okay, before I took my business online, the biggest challenge was actually to gain the credibility and get your first chance to prove for a company what you're worth. Can you really deliver upon your promises? So I had a lot of knowledge gained through my self-education. But then again, you need to have the first chance from someone who is giving it to you. So that was the first, that was the biggest challenge before when I started my company. And the biggest challenge now has become actually to bring everything online and to become actually visible, because before, so after you make some good results, people will start to make publicity for you. And I didn't have to do anything with regards to marketing and sales, because it was more word of mouth and other people selling my services. So I was there to fix the things, they were there to sell me or my services, which was a good collaboration. But now it's I can't just rely on that anymore. And I don't want to rely only on speculation and investments. I do want to help companies create more value and survive, not only survive, but thrive through this period. And so my challenge was visibility. And I hope now with bringing my business online, doing this podcast, doing my own personal vlogs, and starting to get into social media, that I will become more visible. Second challenge is how to do all these technical things and make sure that everything is in place to organize a webinar, to organize Zoom meetings, to, yeah, this is a second challenge that I had with bringing everything online.
I see. For sure, like your first client and first customer is always the hardest to get.
Yes, and also the challenge that still remains the same, whether online or offline, is that you need to find yourself a trustworthy team. And the best thing to do is to find a trustworthy team that you can rely on. And I think if you rely on them, there should be mutual benefits attached to each other's contribution. Because otherwise people are just working in their silo. And you may not get the same commitment and collaboration which you may need, especially if you want to grow fast.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you have to have somebody in this journey next to you. You don't want to just like do it by yourself. No, nobody can do everything by himself. You will need for sure some help.
You want people in different functions. Nobody can know everything. For example, accounting, this is one part, but also administrative follow-up. And you want those people to think with you. And if you don't have the same shared goal, mutual benefits attached to the same result, then it becomes more difficult. So you need to look out very soon in the game to see who will actually work with me and is ready to take a part of the risk together with me. And including also share a part of the results, sharing the risk, sharing the results. That's, I think, the best way to find your team.
Yes, yes. Like your own business, your own work, it's a really long path, long walk. You will need somebody right there next to you so you can cross it, go through it as smooth as possible.
Yeah. Yes, cross-check. And very often it's good to have somebody who is viewing everything from another point of view. Maybe you're creative, but then the other guy should be more, linear thinking. But the combination of that creates synergy, and that makes you stronger. So look out not for just people that say yes to you, but also those people who have another view, because in that way, if you listen actively to each other, you can build together something which is really worth the while and which will serve your customers the best.
Okay, that's good. That's some really good advice that you gave us, Kurt. We are really like taking some really nice knowledge from you. Me personally, and I hope also my listener is also feeling the same thing.
I hope so too.
Okay, so Kurt, actually, like when I think, like what topic shall we talk in this episode? I choose this topic because many people maybe early days struggling, maybe they want to start their own business and don't know what to do. And this is like a recession period where is the economy is down all over the world. What it used to be normal just a few months ago is now it's not applicable, or you can't do it. You need to have social distancing. You need to wear a mask before you go out and so on. So I looked back in history and I took actually two examples of companies actually started in maybe the worst time to start. Maybe like you don't really know how did they really do it, but if you look back, they started at absolutely the wrong time, but they were able to manage it. Now, the first real example I would like to present is Disney. The Disney Media Production Company is actually launched at the same year as the Great Depression of 1929. That in 1982, okay, the brothers Walt and Ron Disney, they started with their Mickey Mouse character, and they like started it to show it to the people. And then after that, in 1929, they actually incorporated the company at that date, 1929, where like the stock Great Depression happened, the Great Stock Crash happened, and so on. Now, currently, the company is valued as of 2019 about $70 billion. So as you can see, this is a first example of a company started way back about maybe 90 years ago, where there were many economic problems, many hard situation, but they were able to pull it off, to make it succeed. And that is actually quite interesting. Now also, we have another company that we are can take a look example of, which is Microsoft. Actually, Microsoft started back at 1975, just 2 years after a great market crash. And what happened at like 1973, 2 years before they started the company, there was a market crash. The employment rose to about 9%, and the GDP has been declined over 3.4%. So within like a really hard time, these guys also started their company. Currently, as of today, Microsoft is valued as $1.3 trillion. So a company started back at 1975, after 2 years after a recession, and there were a GDP decline, were able to succeed and reach $1.3 trillion, maybe 20, 30, 40 years after, which is, I think, that can give us a sign of hope that what we are going through is actually just a phase of some transformation in business and so on. But this phase will not last forever. And for sure, we're going to see actually some companies growing and expanding after this crisis. So Kurt, what do you think actually will happen maybe 2 to 3 years from now? Do you think actually we're going to see some really successful companies and examples of companies that started in a hard time and then they were able to succeed and reach some really high figures and high numbers? What do you think?
Yeah, sure. I think there will be winners that brought solutions to real life problems. Those people that do that with passion, persistence, and continuous improvement, they will succeed, I think. It's also a little bit what bringing me back to one of my mentors. He said, right after a crisis or right after a recession, just like Microsoft did, start a business or prepare it during the crisis, and then you're ready when the crisis may hit bottom, which you may not realize when it's time to hit bottom, but at least you will be ready and you will be going while the rest is probably going bankrupt and still focusing on cost cutting and the dangers and obstacles, while the ones that are visionaries and that are passionate about it, they're seeing potential and abundant opportunities.
Okay, hopefully we can reach some really nice level, maybe take advantage of what's actually going on.
Yeah, hopefully so. And one of the things that I think may profit from this situation is this new, currently still very young and quite speculative asset class, which is called blockchain. Mm. And blockchain, one example of blockchain is Bitcoin. But this is growing and more applications are being developed on this blockchain platform. And there are many blockchain platforms and many apps are being developed for decentralized and centralized solutions, anonymous and non-anonymous. So there's a huge potential, I think, to develop your business for or to focus on and also to invest in.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, so now, so there are, let's say, or you have started a radio business. Okay, and like, what did you see that is needed so it can like strive and grow?
Yeah, what I think what is really needed is that you focus on not necessarily the wants of your market out there, but not the explicit wants, but the implicit needs. So if somebody wants something and you ask why do you want that, and you ask that 2-3 times, then you're very close to a real need that your market has. And if you can fulfill that need in a way that your sector is not even thinking about, in a factor of magnitude better, then you own the market if you're reliable in your delivery. So you need to make sure that you've got the integrity behind it also to deliver upon your promise and your offer to the market. Mm-hmm. But wishful thinking enough will not help you.
Okay, for sure you wanna
need to put the hard work in.
Yeah, you want to put hard work, you want to listen to your customer, see what they actually need, and work with them to achieve their goals.
Yes. And one approach I think may be useful also is that if you come with a good solution for their need, start listening to their wants and ask them more questions so you bring them to the need, and then let them think about what the value would be if that need would be solved. That's in the sales process. It's not a thing, but also when you come with the solution, make sure you don't focus only on the positives of bringing that solution to the customer, because the customer has got also two other things to consider. Three other things. One is, what is the risk of bringing the solution into my place, and can we mitigate those risks? And the other thing is, which situation am I leaving behind, and which good things from the current situation may I need to leave behind? And the other one is, these two answers you need to prepare also. In addition to that, during your time with the customer, before you have sold anything, is also ask about what I call the alligators. And it's basically coming also from Eli Goldratt. The alligators are those things the customers are currently, or your customers are currently afraid of, or it's their major concern. You need to have these four things, like what are the positives of the change of your proposal? What are the potential risks and how do you mitigate them? And what are the positives for a customer to just continue what they've been doing? But also, what are the negatives of doing that as your customer? So you need to really put yourself into the place of your customer, and I call that empathy.
That's correct. You need to hear out, to be more empathetic, and see what their vision they actually have, what they want to really do.
Yeah, from all angles.
Yes, yes, that's correct. So now, Kurt, there are many people who currently wanna to be an entrepreneur, to join this entrepreneurship movement around the world. What do you say to them? What's your advice to them?
Yeah, well, the first thing is make sure that you know what you love to do. What is really something you love to do? Maybe it's in music, maybe it's in art, and that can be a business too. But first you need to know what is your passion, and you need to focus on the journey, not the monetary end results, not the pot of gold, but you need to like the journey too, because otherwise, without the passion, the needed meaningful, the meaning behind it, for your why. If you don't have an answer to your why, then that will not be strong enough to actually cope with all the hows that you will inevitably be confronted with along the way. So make sure that it's something you really want to do, where you can combine your passion with your talents and your capabilities, and hopefully find then a common denominator for what is the market demand.
Mm-hmm. So you need to research it to make sure like it's something that you are willing to sit down maybe for 18, 20 hours straight doing it, and you are willing to do more, for sure.
Yeah, maybe in the beginning it may be this way, that you because your passion will drive you, and then you'll do much more hours than you thought ever possible. But after that, once you have your own business system stabilized, then you can find the balance back, because you need to have some balance also between work and your health. So you need to have some off time, because you need to have space in the mind to face the different challenges of every day. One thing that can help you with that is when you start growing and start working, then start formalizing a little bit what your strategy is on the whole thing, so that you may make sure that your strategy can help you to cope with or to actually eliminate or reduce to a minimum the engines of disharmony, what I talked about before. So engines of disharmony are like, there are conflicting measures, conflicting policies. I don't know what my contribution is to the goal. I don't know what my colleague's contribution is to the goal. I have the responsibility, but not the capabilities, or I have the responsibility but not the authority. These things can all be eliminated if you have a good strategy that works out strategy and tactic on every level of the company. So from directors to team leaders and above, the CEO, CFO, C-level management, if you are talking about a big company. Mm-hmm. But the same applies for our smaller companies. We need to make sure we are working logically, focused, prioritized, and eliminate, for example, bad multitasking, and also make sure that we've got some systems in place that ensure that we can work together and collaborate and bring out the synergy in our company. Mm-hmm. Based on each other's capabilities.
Yes, yes, that's correct. And maybe something I advise, if somebody want to join the entrepreneurship movement and so on, like you don't first need to quit your job. You can do both together at the beginning.
Sure.
Later on, you will have, like, you have to make a choice later on. You want to stay in a job, or just, you know what, my work currently is sustainable, it's growing, the income can cover my expenses. Later on, you can take...
Very good point, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can see, if you have the system in place, you can see whether you've got more demand and capacity or availability, and then you can make the trade-off. If I make myself now 40 hours more available, will I fulfill the demand? Will I still have enough demand to continue? And then you can take the risk or bite the bullet. If you're less risk averse than someone who says, I quit and I take my savings and I create my business, which is also a possibility, but it's more for the people that have a higher risk appetite.
It's like going jumping from a plane with no parachute. You have, like, on the way down, you have to make one.
Yeah, that's, sometimes it can be like that.
Yeah, you just want to...
Especially if you don't have passion.
Yeah, just to please, like, anybody want to jump, just make sure you have a parachute first or something at least.
Yeah, yeah, and that you have enough altitude.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Because it takes some time before the parachute goes open.
As well, yes, that's correct. All right. So, Kurt, what do you have, like, for our listeners now? Somebody listening say that maybe now Kurt can help me with my work, my business, maybe his own personal finance and so on. Like, what do you have for them? What you can offer them now and they can, like, take advantage from?
Yeah, well, I think I just finished one digital product, which is a six-part video series addressing the six simple steps you can use to help you find the confidence and clarity to embark on a path of extraordinary but sustainable growth without the stress. And it will show you what you need to know about moving your situation from a state of fear, uncertainty, and doubt with the inevitable stress to a state of more joy, clarity, and confidence. So this would go over 6 weeks, and it will address the following six topics. One is how to protect and preserve what you already earn and save, or only saved, so that you bulletproof your situation to sail the oceans ahead with peace of mind. And then the second thing is to gain laser focus and actually discover what the opportunity is. What is the value proposition that you can create with your company or in your situation for your potential markets, and maybe with an S, or market segments. And so how much better can you do? Once you know that, you can see, okay, what should I offer? And in my third step, I will explain a little bit what kind of questions you need to solve in order to come up with a mafia offer, an irresistible offer to your market, which allows you to build a decisive serving or competitive edge as you want. So an offer that your customers find very hard to resist, while your competitors don't have a clue how to copy that. At least they can't copy it easily, and it will probably take them years. So that's in the third step, building your mafia offer. And the fourth step is to build the integrity that which is needed in order to avoid becoming a victim of your own success. So it's needed to keep the trust and to support the offer that you bring to your market. How do you build the integrity? And I will explain you the different steps you need to do there before actually you launch your offer to the market. And which brings me to the fifth point of this six-part video series, which is how to sell your offer and make sure that you're not selling yourself short. So start to sell the value, not just how much effort you put in it plus a markup, because in the end, your customer is not interested in how many hours you put into that offer. It is, what is the value for your customer? What is the thing you really solve for them? And price it in that way. Because if you work $500 on something nobody needs, then you can put a price, but if the market doesn't buy it, it has got zero value. So focus on the value creation there. And then the last thing in the six-part video series is how to put yourself on a path of sustainable growth. So how to establish a sustainable, supportive culture of true harmony, synergy, and growth. And in delivering value, even the sky is not the limit on this limited resource planet. If we focus on value creation, there is no limit to value creation. And that's what I could offer in my product. I'm just launching it, so it's just in time, because as of next week, I can't offer it for the same price anymore. Mm-hmm. But currently, I will drop you a link. I think it's normally $97, which I think is way too low, because what is it worth if you can bulletproof your own situation against what may be coming in the next 6 months? and all these other things like the Mafia offer and how to sell your value instead of your time and make sure that you've got the integrity behind it. What is that worth? It's definitely more worth than $97. But actually, since I'm starting and I want to share this with as many entrepreneurial minds as possible, I'll give this away for $27. And I think you have the link, Amer, or I'll send you the link later on. Mm-hmm. So this is one thing. And if you say this is not for me yet, well, you can follow me on my website, www.flip-management.com. And if you do /webinar, then you can follow a webinar, which I'll be facilitating tomorrow at 6 London time, 6 UK time, which is 8 Dubai time. That's the webinar with my product. And in the future, like in 1 week or 2 weeks from now, I think I may launch a paid channel where you can follow what I'm doing to protect and preserve my capital, just for information and educational purposes only. Which will be a monthly subscription, maybe $10 per month or even less than $10 per month, where you can see what am I buying in blockchain technology, what am I buying in precious metals maybe, or commodities, which commodities are good, which grains maybe we should buy and how to do that. So that's one part. Or I will focus on organizing group coaching sessions to make sure that everybody can build their own irresistible offer to their markets.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay, and do you have like some social media? Like, do you post regularly in social media about your work?
Yeah, I think I'll mainly be posting on Facebook. You can find my profile on Facebook, KURT, 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 space CURTHOUT, Korthout. There you can find me. You can add me as a friend. I will accept you. I still don't have 5,000 friends, so I can't do that. There I will do at least a weekly market update about what I'm seeing happening in the different markets, from stock markets worldwide to future markets to the blockchain market. And I start with a global view, and then I drill down towards specific items in those different asset classes. That's one thing I will do. And on my website, I will probably be starting to post some blogs, which you can also find on my LinkedIn profile, where I will post the same thing. And on Twitter, I may keep everybody informed about what I'm up to next and which kind of market updates have just been posted, on Facebook and so on. Mm-hmm. That's the intention.
Okay, good to know. If somebody have something, they can go to Facebook or your site and so on, so they can like reach out to you. All right, okay, yes. So I would like first things first to thank Kurt for sharing his valuable knowledge and taking the time to be here with us on the Advanced Business Show. We thank you, our listeners, thank you. It was a really nice session. We had a lot of really valuable information. And we're going to leave your links for our listeners in the description so they can like access it later on. Also, if they want to check out your offer, and again, Kurt's offer is just only for $27 instead of $97, but for a limited time. Hopefully you can get it before the time goes out. So thanks, everybody. Yeah. Thank you for watching. Thank you, Kurt. And I hope to see you in the next episode.
Thanks for having me, Amer. Bye-bye. Good luck to everybody.